Monday morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. In early 2012, a big section of a Japanese harbor dock that had drifted across the Pacific Ocean was removed at considerable expense from the beach near Newport. The state government had gotten itself into something of a lather over the dock, as it also did several years ago with the wreckage of the freighter New Carissa. The government wanted that stuff off the beach immediately, if not sooner, and was willing to go to great lengths and spend lots of money to get that done. That hasn't always been Oregon's official attitude, though. There was a time when Oregon state and local governments took the opposite approach, as happened in a somewhat comic squabble in 1960 over salvage rights to the wreckage of the Peter Iredale. The Peter Iredale, of course, is still there, so you know how the story ends. The wreckage has been a highlight of the northern Oregon coast for more than 100 years. It first appeared there on a foggy late October morning in 1906. The 287-foot steel-hulled four-masted bark Peter Iredale was running before the usual southwest wind making for the mouth of the Columbia River when a sudden squall roared out of the northwest, driving the ship straight up onto the beach on Clatsop Spit. What followed was, as author Don Marshall describes it, "the most singularly unexciting shipwreck scenario in maritime history." The crew members were all uneventfully evacuated with a breeches buoy, which was essentially a zip line, but had they waited a few hours until low tide, they could have all walked ashore. Of course, a 2,000-ton sailing ship parked on the beach is something you don't see every day, so there was a good deal of excitement on shore. Local schoolchildren were released early for the day so that they could go check it out. A local railroad operator started making plans for a special excursion train, and photographers, both professional and amateur, started making images of the Peter Iredale, which has been called with some justification the most photographed shipwreck in the world. It's also quite possibly the most long-lasting shipwreck in the world. In part, that's because of geology. After the ship grounded, of course, it was firmly stuck on the beach, but beaches change. Sometimes the wind and currents wear them away, and other times they grow. In the case of Clatsop Spit, the beach was growing. Over the years, more and more sand accumulated around the wreck until it was high and dry most of the time. This made it more popular than ever. Tourists posed on its decks, explored its depths. As time and weather and salt spray eroded away its hull, a ladder-like structure of rusty steel remained for children to climb and play on. The Peter Iredale quickly became counted among the state's great treasures, a real picturesque shipwreck that you could walk around and photograph and imagine as a setting for maritime adventures, ghost stories. The growth of the beach sands changed some other things as well, though. A ship stuck fast on a beach in 6 feet of water with West Coast surf breaking around it is a hopeless proposition for scrap salvage. But a ship stuck on a dry beach is a 2-week easy money job. Couple that with the fact that unsalvageable wrecks were frequently sold to suckers for small amounts of money in the aftermath of incidents like this, and you have a recipe for, well, for what happened next. On June 2, 1960, a Clackamas County man named Cliff Hendricks notified the Oregon Highway Department, which was in charge of beaches at the time, that he was the owner of the wreck, having inherited it from his father, and he intended to start salvage operations immediately. Anyone who remembers the state government's angry determination to get every last vestige of the New Carissa off the Waldport and Coos Bay beaches will likely find the state's response to Hendricks' letter ironic and amusing. It started with a Clatsop County judge who, after threatening to throw Hendricks in jail if he tried anything of the kind, alerted the city of Warrenton. The growth of Clatsop Spit in the intervening half-century had, the city claimed, put the wreck inside city limits. Local newspapers picked up the story, and the public got very excited. Astoria newspaper editor Fred Andrus settled everyone down by spending an afternoon at the county courthouse examining all the records for 1908, the year Hendricks said his father had bought the wreck for $25. There was no trace. But then, after everyone had settled down and breathed a sigh of relief, a county records clerk found the record. It had sold in 1917, not 1908. Things started heating up. An offer came in from the, quote, Oregon Coast Ad Club, which wanted to buy the wreck and make it part of Lincoln County's 20 Miracle Miles tourism project. You may remember the 20 Miracle Miles project as the one that the governor, Tom McCall, of course, famously lampooned as the 20 Miserable Miles. But back to our story. Hendrick's attorney suggested that his client might be inclined to donate this wreck to Clackamas County, where it could be arranged in the parking lot in front of the courthouse in Oregon City. If you've ever seen the courthouse in Oregon City, you'll probably suspect, as I do, that this was intended as a joke. The people of Clatsop County, of course, viewed all these schemes as a form of piracy, though. Various governments were taking hard lines as well. The State Parks Department cited the potential for harm to state-owned property around the wreck. The city of Warrenton asserted its jurisdiction, again, and told Hendricks to get lost. Editor Andrus pointed out that if Hendricks did in fact own the ship, he also owned 5 decades worth of property taxes on it. Of course, because it wasn't real estate, that probably was not accurate, but it was a good talking point. And attorneys for the highway department started looking into abandoned property laws. By June 5th, the wreck was being watched 24 hours a day by guards with machine guns. But just as everything seemed to be building to some kind of horrible climax, the Clatsop County records clerk, the one who found Hendricks' record of purchase, found something else. It seemed the elder Hendricks had, 72 hours after buying the Peter Iredale, sold the wreck for $325, an annualized return of 85,166% on his $25 initial investment. Hendricks, it now appeared, had no claim on the wreck at all. It's pretty hard to imagine how this could possibly have been an innocent misunderstanding. Nevertheless, nobody seems to have pursued it, apparently because it was such a relief that Oregon's only visible and visitable shipwreck was safe. The Peter Iredale remains Oregon's only visible shipwreck to this day, excluding, of course, small bits like the boiler of the J. Marhoffer in Boiler Bay, and also the occasional wreckage of wooden ships that from time to time emerge from eroding beach sand. And given the attitude of state government during the new Carissa debacle, it doesn't seem likely that that will change anytime soon. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Check out our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com to explore all the other things we do. Visuals that go with today's show can be found at offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. You know, if you like Offbeat Oregon History, you should check out my book. It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town. It was published in 2012 by the History Press, and your local library has probably got a copy that you can check out, or you can buy your own for about $20 from your neighborhood bookstore. I can pretty much guarantee that if you like this podcast, you'll enjoy the book. It's also available in audiobook form. Check it out at offbeatoregon.com/audiobook. Got an idea for a story I should do? Email me at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Also, if you're going to be in town near Oregon State University with time for a cup of coffee, do let me know. Or you can just stop by the next Stumptown Stories show at the Jack London Bar in Portland. For the schedule, see offbeatoregon.com/events. Tomorrow is Tuesday, which is Golden Oldie Day here at Offbeat Oregon History. I'll be queuing up a story from 2009, Offbeat Oregon History's first full year. Look for that around 6 a.m. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.